Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 6, episode 33, episode number 258. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, can't complain.
A belated happy birthday, Shandy.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I can't believe that it's been, let's see. So we didn't have a new episode last week. We had the Real Weird Sisters 2 weeks in a row. I think the last time I saw you guys, it was like 2 a.m. or something obscene.
It was pretty nuts.
I was so tired. Hello. It's nice to see your lovely faces.
This is the longest break we've taken in a minute, I feel like. Or maybe it was the same length as what we took around the holidays.
We had a good month at the holidays.
Okay. What is time anymore?
What is time anymore?
I mean, more than 2 weeks away from you ladies is just, it's hard.
I know. Yeah. I read an entire book.
Nice. I'm so proud of you. What book was it? Did you love it?
I read While Justice Sleeps, which is the Stacey Abrams book, the thriller.
Did you like it?
I did like it on my Christmas list
and then didn't.
I did like it. Gott actually got it for me. He was my patron secret Santa, and that was one of the things he sent me.
Nice job, Gott.
I also started, so I'm working now, but I wasn't working from January 8th through February 15th. And I started getting really, like, back into blogging a lot more, like, for real, like, on a consistent basis. So I will have a review on the book on my blog, callwrites.com. But anyway, not to pimp my own stuff, but I did like it.
It was the long and the short.
Yeah, and then I started Death on the Nile, the Agatha Christie book, because I can't remember if I've read it before. I don't think I have. I read a bunch of them when I was younger. I don't think I have. I don't know. We'll find out if I get like 2 chapters in and I'm like, oh yeah, this one, duh. But I want to watch the movie, and I don't want to see the movie until I've read the book. So
respect.
Yeah. So yeah, that's. Maybe next week I'll have read another book. Probably not, though. Survivor comes back. So we're doing a Survivor preview show this week. It will already have been out by the time you're hearing this episode. So check that out, our cast previews. So
sweet.
Nice.
And I guess I can announce it here since it'll be passed already. But over the next 2 weeks, there'll be some torch passing. Jay is almost, he's like 75% retiring from doing the show this season.
Whoa.
But I made him promise that he would do certain episodes with us that are always more fun. And also, I don't know his crazy fucking point system, so Shandy's laughing and she's muted. It's very complicated. So he's gotta get us all set up with making our picks and all that. So our new co-host, we're keeping with the J theme, so we'll be Survivor JJJC. Jamie Joe will be the new co-host. So
awesome.
Yeah. So now
that's wonderful.
Yeah, Jack will be outnumbered. Sorry, Jack. But he'll be okay. That's okay. Nice. Yeah, he'll get the Bro Chachos on Tuesday with the Ramblecast After Dark, and then he'll get me and the lovely Jamie on Wednesdays.
That's awesome.
That's really great.
Yeah. Anyway, Shandy, how was your trip?
It was so much fun. I highly recommend taking vacation in February. It's a good time. No, seriously, it was my first time at a film festival, and I loved it. I had so much fun. And I kind of thought I'd go to a movie here or there, but I went to actually like a lot, and it was super cool. There was very much like a summer camp feel to it after a couple of days, because like you see the same people and, you know, see like there's all these Q&As after the film. So you like see who the directors are and then you're like having a drink with them. And then it was super fun.
So what films did you see that you really enjoyed? Like what were your top three of the festival?
So honestly, top three is a little bit hard to say, but because there's so many that I liked and then some that I still haven't seen. And there are a few that are still available online until the 3rd. So I have like a day and a half to.
You have tomorrow.
Who needs to work? This one. There's this one that we saw on the first day called Fathom, and it was about these two whale researchers who both research whale communication, but like the two main different types of whale communication, which is whale song and whale calls. And they don't work together, which I thought was interesting. At no point in the movie do they like meet up, but it's these two different researchers in different hemispheres, just like trying to figure out, you know, what the hell whales are saying. And it was just so interesting to think about it as a language teacher, because they talked a lot about like, you know, like the culture of whales, and it's like language and culture is like, you can't disassociate them. Right. And then I think, you know, we always think of ourselves as the most advanced species with the most advanced communication. And they're talking about how, just like how whales have been on the planet for just like so incredibly longer than us.
Yeah.
And have, you know, developed their communication like essentially in the dark. And anyway, some of the scientists were saying like, yeah, for them, it's like kind of a window into like where we could be in like a million years or something, you know, if we're still here. In terms of communication.
Right. Because like whales have like a whole like part of their brain that we don't have. They've got like this part of their brain where they're like, they have like this emotional capacity that we just don't.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, they're so, like so highly social, but, and one of the things that really stuck with me was in the Q&A afterwards that with the director, he was just talking about how, again, like the communication aspect of it, how they're really advanced and how like, you know, sometimes people will push back and be like, well, you know, like, but whales didn't like go to the moon or like invent guns. And he's like, well, yeah, exactly. the way that he phrased it was that, you know, he sees like that type of society, like our society, those kinds of things as sort of like a juvenile stage of development. And whales being so much beyond that. And I was just like, wow, that really fucking makes sense. Because like the idea being that, of course, like it's, you know, he's clearly team science. And so like going to the moon is great and everything. But if you're spending a bunch of money for, you know, arguably like sort of military related purposes, of like showing your might to other, I mean, you know, there are non-military purposes to going to the moon, but like ultimately it is kind of like showing like
that we can,
that we have that exactly.
Yeah. We have the brain and the brawn.
Exactly.
And the money.
And the money. But then meanwhile, you know, letting so many people go unhoused and hungry and die like of your own species. That's not very advanced.
Yeah.
So that was just like, and then also it just like visually, it was so fucking beautiful. Just really beautiful.
And I assume this is a documentary, right?
Yeah. So the whole festival was documentaries. It was the documentary film festival.
Okay. I couldn't remember because I knew that they did have, they programmed a lot of documentaries, which is why we had a plot in the first
place.
Makes
sense. Yeah.
But
no,
I
thought
it was all full on. All docs. Oh,
I thought about you a lot. But yeah, it was all, I've never seen so many documentaries in my life. And I'm just like, give me more. Give me all the documentaries.
She went full doc.
Full doc.
Yeah, it was really, really great. That was one of the first ones. One of the last ones that I saw was another animal one. This is not on purpose, but I do really like animals. There was a Montana made one called Tracking Notes. And it's about this, this like property, which is like a research place, up in the mountains, like not too far from, you know, where the festival is located and everything. So it was like sold out, full crowd, like Montanans are going to come out for Montana shit. But anyway, so on this land, they have all of these cameras. And so they track animals, they don't do any collars, and they have this really interesting system. So a lot of it is mountain lions. And when they find tracks of a mountain lion, they then backtrack because they're really trying to like not interfere at all. Mm-hmm. So they'll see then where the animal went, but without like, you know, spooking it or interfering with where it's going. And with all that data, then they can put together this elaborate story of what happened. And then they have all this video also. And then they also gather any like DNA evidence when they have it, so they can figure out who's who and what's going on. But it was just incredible the amount of footage that they went through to get the stuff that they were showing us. I mean, it's just like hours and hours and hours and hours of because they have so many cameras. And just to see mountain lions like that, I don't know, it was really cool. They talk about how, you know, we think of mountain lions as being like completely solitary.
Yeah.
There we go. And that's certainly how I've always thought of them too, but they have like some evidence that's not always the case. It was just really incredible to see. And like, I really liked how it was mostly mountain lions, but not only. So there are other like side stories about like, hares and just like different animals. And then sometimes they would come together when like one would eat the other, and them talking about how like, there's not, you know, it's not like black and white. And I think that was, for me, that was like a big overall arcing theme of the festival, was like nuance and nothing is black and white. Cause it's like, yeah, you follow the mountain lions and you start identifying with them, and you know, so you're like on team mountain lion, but then you're, you know, seeing all this footage of these cute foxes, and then you're like on team fox, and then like the mountain lion's eventually probably going to eat the fox. And that's just kind of how it goes, but everyone's survival depends on each other. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And then another one that I really liked, it won the festival for the features, was One Road to Quartzsite, which Quartzsite is a town in Arizona. And it's like this town where a lot of people, basically it's like a bunch of like BLM land where you can camp for free for like up to 6 months. And so the population, especially in like different seasons, like the snowbirds will come down from the north and just like camp out there for the winter. And the population like swells at that point, but it's like a really interesting population. Mm-hmm. Some people that like choose to go there, some people that end up there, some people, you know, that are on varying ends of like the poverty line, and also just really interesting characters.
Yeah.
And some like, so the filmmaker, we talked to him a couple of times, and he was saying that like, he's very much like to the left, but so many of the people that you meet down there are, you know, they have like their Trump flags out, and it's all about like guns and stuff. And there's very much that sort of like libertarian, like don't tread on me sort of mindset. Mm-hmm. But then you get attached to the people nonetheless. And it was just like, it was really like living with them, because the filmmaker lived there for an extended period of time and then goes back basically every year. So he is part of the community, and he was talking about how, yeah, it's just like, it's a place that inspires him, but also makes him uncomfortable. And that's kind of like what the movie does too.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
This all sounds really awesome. Someday I will get to a film festival. Maybe. I don't know if I have the attention span.
It was really great. And I was a little bit like, oh my God, how is this the first time I've ever been? Like, this is my hometown. I figured out that they started the year that I graduated from high school. So like,
oh, so you were off seeing the world.
Then I was like, well, I was thinking like, okay, why didn't I go during grad school? Like I was, you know, all into like culture and whatnot. I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh no, that makes sense. I mean, if you're in grad school, you're like busy, you know, studying and stuff. During grad school, I was busy going out. I don't know what you're talking about.
But, yeah. And if they were a much smaller festival at that point, like maybe just you know, their advertising budget was such, you know, it's like a film festival like that that's been going on for a long time, like, you know, has a certain amount of cachet now that perhaps they didn't have, you know, back when we were in college.
Definitely.
A couple years ago.
Well, that's a couple years ago. Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, you count your money very, like a lot more back then. Like it's a bigger deal to, you know, spend it on various different things. So there's that. But I mean, the other thing is like during the, so of course it was like, it went for more than a week. So it was on two weekends also, but the whole week in the middle, you know, like if you're working and stuff, I mean, maybe you go to one screening at like 7 o'clock, but also maybe you're tired from working that day. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. You think you'll go back again?
I think this needs to be like an annual thing. I am super ready to go back next year. I love that it falls during my birthday week. And it was just really fun to have like all access and to be just on vacation and just be able to go to whatever I wanted. Super fun.
Awesome. And did you do anything else fun while you were there? It looked like you were having a blast in general.
Yeah, it was good. I saw some friends, went out for my birthday a little bit, but it did some runs. because, you know, we're still training. That was one thing that was like, oh my God, we have to fit in like two long runs during this, in, you know, in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
But mostly, I mean, honestly, mostly it was the festival. I was even telling some of my friends, like, I saw a lot of people, not everyone, but I did see quite a few people, but I thought that I would be able to, like, have more time to just, like, be. But then it was like, actually, this festival thing is really fun.
Nice.
That's great. That's so good. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, super fun.
Yeah. Woohoo. What about you, Amanda? Anything fun?
Well, no, what did I do?
You saw your show. You saw Company.
Right? I did. I finally saw Company. It's been a long break.
It has been. Didn't you go like around the same time as Martha?
I don't know.
I saw it on the grams.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't Martha. Know her. Martha, if you're listening, we should totally be Instagram friends.
Yeah, I saw you both posting about it around the same time. I was like, universe.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's so funny. I had no idea. It's the, you know, the great and sad thing about the universe. It's like you can be moving in tandem, parallel lines and not even know.
Exactly.
But yeah. Well, let's back up. Yeah, okay. Company was really, really good. You know, Patti LuPone is Patti LuPone and she's great all the time. I think I loved the concept of like switching gender roles on some of the key characters. I thought they were going to explore that like a little bit more than they actually did. So I found like certain points, I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little disappointed. And that's sad. But overall, it was really, really great. They had this whole kind of like Alice in Wonderland concept that I thought was really cool. And it was worth the wait overall.
Awesome. Hooray.
Yeah. And then Eden and I went on a solo trip, just the two of us to Connecticut.
How was that?
We got into our first car accident. Everything is fine. Okay. Everyone is fine. The car is a little less fine. We have now a replacement mirror that is sort of screwed and lightly duct taped. But everyone is fine. Everyone is fine. The baby slept through it.
Okay. Did you get her car seat checked out to make sure that it was still good?
I mean, she's basically grown out of that car seat anyway. And she's literally in the car like once every 6 weeks.
Okay, cool.
So it's, you know, city baby. She really is barely in her car seat.
Okay. Just had to ask.
I'm going to, my friend's giving me her old convertible car seat. So I'm picking it up next week. So.
Awesome.
She probably won't even actually be in this car seat ever again. Oh, which is kind of sad. I spend all this money on stuff for kids. And that's like, it has such a short shelf life.
I know. I would offer you Zach's, but car seats are only good for every 7 years. And, you know. We at that point. Sorry.
Yeah. So the one that, my friend is giving me, it expires in like 2024.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm getting it at like it's end of life. So we might have to like.
Anyway. Well, awesome. I'm very glad. I'm glad that everybody had a. Amanda, I'm not glad you got into a car accident, but I'm glad that you guys are okay. And I'm happy that Shandy had a fun 2 weeks. And
it was really just the mirror.
Okay. What happened? Can you tell us? Or
we were merging and I got sideswiped by a very large truck.
Oh my God. Oh, that's my very goodness. Large truck.
But like also my car must have like a truck size blind spot because I literally did not know what was happening until my mirror came crunching off the car. Like,
so was it the passenger side mirror?
No, it was my driver's side. I was merging on oh God, what are those called when you're going from like one highway to the other?
A merge? I know what you mean.
No, there's like a frontage road.
I know what you mean though.
Yeah, yeah. I was like on one of those that I was moving from the Triborough to like get to 95.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And there's like this crappy bridge there. And I was like merging onto that from coming from the right. And I was either like a little too far over in my lane or whatever, but
yeah. Well, oh my God.
But thankfully we own the car now and it's not.
I know. That was my first thought, but I didn't want to say it. To be like, fuck, you just bought that car.
We did just buy that car. That was Daniel's first reaction too. He was none too happy. But it's totally drivable. Like, literally, it's just like we, in hindsight, we were very lucky. Yeah. But I'd also taken the cat with us. Actually, God, I have really had a trip, guys. So we had the cat with us because the cat was on meds twice a day and couldn't leave the cat home alone.
Oh,
so
no.
So I had to take the cat too. So it was like my drive. Obviously, I'm in the driver's seat, and then the cat was behind me, and then the baby's on the other side. So, like, baby was fine. The poor cat was, like, very quiet. So I'm like, oh, God, is Captain okay?
Oh, my God. Yes. Did you give Captain a heart attack?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's, yeah. Woo. But everyone is fine except for Captain. Captain still is on meds. Captain needs to get some teeth pulled.
Oh.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
But otherwise, everyone's great here.
Good, 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 good.
Living life.
So before we move on to talk about the movies, because this is our 80s movies, which, if you think about it, we did three, like, fantasy, adventure-y 80s movies, and then we randomly stuck on the one that did not fit with the theme at all.
And I'm not sure how we landed on that one.
We just I read a list of movies, and we were like, let's just do that one. And I was like, man, we could have done a whole different genre of over this.
It really is a one of these things is not like the other.
It was super not like the other.
Yeah.
Wait, so had none of us seen that movie before tonight?
I had not.
Okay, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Everyone had seen at least one.
Yes, I had seen Goonies. But before we do that, there's a lot going on in the world. I wish that I could say that this would be hindsight by Friday when this episode drops, because it's Tuesday now. But I think we all know that that's not going to be the case. The situation in Ukraine is pretty terrible. I am not a foreign policy expert. I can only speak to what I have listened to on podcasts, read on in the newspaper, or I've been following the Kyiv Independent, their independent newspaper there. They've had people on the ground tweeting live. So I can only follow what I've seen, but I don't pretend to like be an expert that can give an opinion, but I do. So I don't feel super comfortable at having a discussion about it is what I'm getting at. But I did want to highlight some of the ways that you can help by donating or whatnot. On Twitter, Chris had sent me a really great link tree, which I will post in the show notes. It had a lot of helpful information, like verified Twitter accounts to follow, like government members and journalists that are like, you know, not fake news, and places to donate. Just a lot of really helpful stuff. I will put that in there. And just to really quickly highlight just a couple, because this is very long. The World Central Kitchen, most people know about this. It's Chef Jose, I think his name is. They are wonderful.
Jose Andres?
Yeah, I think so. That's his name. They are awesome. He's been live tweeting videos of they're at all a bunch of different like border stations of refugees that are freezing and walking in like freezing cold weather and like caravanning there and trying to, God, I can't even say the word caravanning because Trump has fucking ruined that. But, you know, like trying to get out of the country, and they've set up at different border stations, and they're just trying to like feed people and try to help them, you know, as they try
Jose
to
Andres
get
is an angel among us.
Amazing. It's so awe-inspiring. Like, I don't know
why. He's done that with like every major humanitarian crisis for the past several years. He's really incredible.
Yeah. You can probably find his Twitter account if you Google World Central Kitchen Chef Jose. It's you could watch some of the videos yourself. I'm not going to put them all in the show notes, but I will put the link to donate. It's part of that link tree. It actually comes up if you Google ways to help Ukraine, like that they come up in like every single list. They're doing really great work. That's the one that we donated to. There's also the Kyiv Independent. They have a GoFundMe. It's a journalist. They started the newspaper, I think, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, recently. They're doing awesome work, too. I somebody shared a Twitter, like a Twitter list that was pre-populated with, like, you know, not fake journalists. And a lot of them are on there that I've been following their stuff. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, let me just check it. Let me just make sure, like, what's going on? And they've been great. To help them with what they're doing, there's a GoFundMe. National Bank of Ukraine, they have a special account that's supporting the armed forces. The Voices of Children is a really good foundation that's been helping since 2015. And they're providing, like, psychological and psychosocial support to children to help them overcome the consequences of being in armed conflict. And that's voices.org.ua /EN. And the EN is, of course, the extension that gives it to in English. But yeah, check that out. And I mean, you can find them yourself. And if you just want to Google ways to give, there's a tip that I got from my home website, WRAL, that if you go to give.org and type in an organization's name, they will verify the charity for you. So you'll know if you're getting scammed or not, theoretically.
Mm. Ooh. Nice tip.
So, yes, give.org. If you are, I'll put the link tree in. But anything else that you're Googling, if you want to know if it's real, check out give.org. And of course, you know, I don't know. A week ago,
a couple of weeks on the world
yes,
stage.
Yes, it has been. 2 weeks ago, I thought we were going to come on here and talk about, you know, how terrible the Florida and Texas laws are. And, like, all of a sudden, you know.
And we certainly could, but
yes,
there seems to be such greater, yeah,
yes. But of course, you know, our thoughts and prayers and good vibes and energy and all that, you know, go out to what's going on over there. All right. On that note, who wants to talk about some cheesy 80s movies?
Yes,
I do.
Yay. All right, but before we get into our movie stuff, let's take a quick commercial break so we can just go straight through with that.
Where should we start?
Let's start with Neverending Story, because I feel like I have the least to say about that.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with that.
Okay. Am I the...
Sorry.
Oh. Yeah. Also, I have to really say our Insta game over these four movies, we stepped it up.
We did. I mean, I know we're planning on doing more of these themed shows in the future, but I think it helps really spark our Instagram creativity.
Yes.
Because it was fun.
It was fun.
Oh, and remind me, I have a suggestion for a future episode.
Oh, cool. Me too.
Put it in the chat.
Or tell, put in the chat. We'll get it at the end because I have one too.
It's like our little post-it notes. Just reminders.
Anyways, let's start with Neverending Story. So follow us on the Instas. The Broadcasters 3 is our Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good times. So Neverending Story. I think I'm the only one here that had never seen it.
Yes.
Yes.
The animatronics are ridiculous. They're so 80s.
So much. Also, just like across the board, because again, we picked some fantasy movies. Very bad green screens.
Yes.
But for the time, it was pretty sweet.
Probably. But I also feel like, particularly in Neverending Story, there were definitely scenes that was like, I feel like this didn't need to be shot on a green screen, but and yet, here we are.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. Now I know the famous killing the horse scene. I was like, this is
so traumatic.
So traumatic. But also, my little 5-year-old brain remembers that scene where the horse goes all the way. Like, you see its face go under. Did I just make that up because I just have a very over-imaginative mind?
Oh, I don't remember.
Have they re-edited the movie because that is indeed too traumatic for people?
That's possible. There were things, as we'll see later on in the show, there were things that they showed in the 80s that don't show anymore. All I know is I grew up like with a huge fear of quicksand, and I feel like so many of us did. So Colleen, did you escape that? Because I think it's 100% directly linked to this movie.
Probably, because
100%.
Like, question: is quicksand a real thing?
Yes.
As an adult, I'm not even sure.
It's also a real thing. Mud. It's mud, not even quicksand. I remembered it as quicksand too. If you, it is mud.
Oh, that's right. Hey, sand, mud. I guess you had some water.
Exactly. But I remembered it as quicksand too. So that's why I was like, "Is this the scene?" But they're in a mud pit. I don't remember them being in mud.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't differentiate. I guess, and I mean, even I wrote in my notes quicksand.
Right.
So clearly,
they're in like a swamp of infinite sadness or something.
Yes, yes. The horse got too sad. It was so sad. I will say though, I did not remember that it's a white kid who's like playing some sort of like pseudo Native American, and that to me, I was just like, oh fuck.
I had that note too.
About that, to like, I like looked over to Daniel. I'm like, is that a little boy in brown face?
You know what's even worse? I thought that little boy was a little girl. I thought that she was like some kind of like Tiger Lily wannabe in like, you know,
well,
native
face.
I was like, huh, this is a choice, but it's the 80s.
It would have been a little bit better if she had been a girl, just because like an actual, you know, girl in the story, because the story as it is like, you have a girl and she's the empress, and it's basically Mario Brothers. Like, it's why
very
are
male centric?
Yeah, why does she need a new name? It doesn't make any sense.
So that's supposed to be like,
I feel
his
like
mom
the whole
character?
Movie is just why? Like, why are we doing this? Why is there a creepy attic in this very modern looking school? Yeah. Why does school end? And then everybody leaves and they immediately lock the doors and turn the lights off.
See, and I had this memory of him in his attic, like his own
home. I think it is. I thought it was his own home.
No, he's in school.
Yeah, he doesn't leave school.
He doesn't leave school. He realizes, oh, darn, I'm 5 minutes late to math class. Yeah. Well, guess we're just not going to school today. I'm going to go in the creepy attic and read this here book I got from the
creepy I totally
missed
that.
Honestly, that does sound like young person logic of like, oh, well, I'm 5 minutes late. I guess I can't go at all. I think I even pulled that move one time and it was like, yeah, it'll somehow be worse to walk in a few minutes late than to just not show up at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of my other notes, when they were like screaming, like, you know, what's the name? I was like, call it its name, Jumanji.
I was just like, why does she need a new name, and why does it have to be given by somebody other than?
Isn't that supposed to be herself? His mom though? Like that's what I read, because I was like, what was the name? And then
his mother's name, but he shouts it in an unintelligible way.
Yes,
so you don't know what it is. You're like, okay.
I went to Google and I was like, well, at this point, I'm unwilling to rewind and try to rehear it, so I'm just going to ask Google what the name was.
Yeah.
Which I think I was too busy yelling Jumanji at that point.
No, they're like, we need this girl, this empress needs a new name. And he's like, I've known a female human once.
She's dead.
My dead mom. And then at the end, he can wish for anything that he wants. And instead of wishing that like his mom was still alive or that he could have one more conversation, he just wishes to fly on Falcorn, which I get it, but not in total if the mom thing hadn't been, didn't make sense.
Also, can we just talk about the fact that the dad literally drank a smoothie that was orange juice and a raw egg?
I think that was the thing back then.
Was it?
That sounds vaguely like sort of like.
And then we never see him again, probably because he drank a raw egg smoothie.
I feel like I used to watch my uncle make smoothies with raw eggs in them growing up.
Oh, God.
And then we learned what salmonella was.
Right. Yeah.
Now I loved also how his dad was like, you're old enough to get your head out of the clouds. Like, you need to stop having an imagination. He's like 5.
Get yourself to school. See
Listen,
you
if you're old enough to be late for math class, you're old enough to go play video games instead of using your imagination.
So weird.
I also love that he finds the princess and he's like, here, Your Highness, I know I blew all your shit up, but here's a necklace. I'm so sorry. Here you go.
Yeah. I also remember, and maybe it's just the suggestive title, but watching this as a kid, it really did feel like it was very long. And it's you know, thankfully not actually that long.
It kind of felt never ending to me
a little
bit.
It felt long to me.
I think I went into it this time expecting it to be never fucking ending, because that's my memory of it as a kid, when everything seemed to take longer than it actually did. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
My expectations were just, you know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, of the four movies, this one held my attention the least.
Yes.
Same. Like, okay, I'm done.
I know. Okay. Same. And I felt really
over. I'm ready to go to bed.
I felt really bad about that, because I was like, everyone loves this movie. Why am I like, all right?
I don't know if everyone does. I really love this song.
I like the song too.
I know you like
actually of our four picks, all have great like theme songs.
Oh, yeah, they all have good music.
I feel like the 80s, they were like, okay, synergy here. We got to do the song for the movie, and we got to get someone famous to do the song, and it's got to be a whole thing.
You know, there was a lot that actually was wrong with the 80s, but their music, you know, pretty okay. Beyond that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have too much to say about this other than Jay was like, oh, let's buy it. I wouldn't mind having this in my collection to watch again someday, maybe with the kids. And then at the end, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we just wasted $14.99 on that movie that I'm never going to watch again.
I watched it for free on like Netflix.
No,
you had it on right. Netflix?
That was the only, actually, of our movies, though, that was the only one that was free.
That was on Netflix?
The Labyrinth was free also. I watched The Goonies on HBO. Yeah.
You watched The Goonies on HBO?
I had to pay for Labyrinth. Where is it free?
I had to pay for all of them.
Maybe it was just when I watched, maybe they changed it. Because I watched The Labyrinth and Neverending Story before I left for vacation.
Yeah, but they take those things off at the end of the month. Like, those go on, roll on a monthly basis.
Things usually, yeah.
Okay. But they were on the either Hulu or Netflix. And then I watched The Goonies on HBO Max. And then I paid for Working Girl.
Yeah.
To rent, not to buy.
Yeah, no, I rented things. I'm not buying. I don't need to buy The Goonies. It's all here.
Shut up. It is. It's on... Jay, did you know that we didn't have to buy that stupid movie?
Sorry. I mean, I did post about that fact on.
You did. That's why I was like, oh, I better do that one first.
I did not see that, I guess, or maybe. Anyway, okay, well, cool. And I think we've watched Goonies a couple of times before, so I do think that we actually just own that because we like it. But I rented the other two. Oh well, whatever. It is what it is now.
This one is.
Yeah. Okay. So does it hold up? Does it not hold up? What do you guys think?
I don't think it holds up. Yeah. But I didn't enjoy it as a child. So.
I think major like red flags with the brown face, and not a fan of the Mario brother like finding the princess and renaming her. But I like Falcorn.
Yeah,
that's true. It's a big fluffy dragon. I mean, what's not to like?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, even though it's kind of a creepy looking dragon, but
yeah, you can't figure out if it's like a quartzite. It inspires you and also makes you uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
There was one quote that I jotted down that they said that I thought was, you know, it holds up. People who have no hopes are easy to control.
I like that one.
I like that.
All right. So, yeah, I'm glad that I finally can say that I've seen that movie now.
There you go.
There we go. Do you want to do Labyrinth next? Because it kind of fits that same genre.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yes. This was also my first time seeing it.
Me too.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
It was my first. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
This was the only one that I had not seen before.
I loved it. I thought it was I thought it was so much fun.
Uh-huh. I was like not expecting to like it. Like, it seemed to me like it was going to be one of those movies that like if you didn't watch it as a kid, you couldn't really like get into it as an adult, because it's sort of like you kind of had to be there.
Uh-huh.
And kind of things. And I was so pleasantly surprised that I was so 100% wrong.
Yeah.
It just kept getting more and more like Muppety towards as it went on.
Directed by Jim Henson.
It was.
It turns out that everything you just described, Amanda, was more fitting of the Neverending Story.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I've also been told The Goonies is like that, but I don't agree, because I love that movie and I don't care.
Yeah.
It's the best movie ever and fight me on it.
We'll get to that. Honestly, my entire life, I always thought that Labyrinth was kind of like a more like Muppet version of Rocky Horror. So I thought for sure that
like Rocky Horror for kids.
Sort of. It was sort of like Rocky Horror for kids, actually, in a way. Like, yeah, I thought it was, but I didn't know it was a kids movie until Jay told me this weekend that it was a kids movie.
Right. I always thought that, like, it was like a older kid movie, which is why I feel like I never saw it growing up.
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, oh, it's going to be too scary. I'm not going to like it. I'm going to be scared.
Yeah. See, I just thought it was going to be just, you know, full of cod pieces and...
I mean, and it was.
And it was. But I thought it was going to be like gyro thrusting cod pieces in your face.
David Bowie was 39 when he made that movie.
Oh my gosh.
I looked that up too because Jennifer Connelly was 16.
She looks so little, but exactly the same.
Yeah. But there's a interesting age gap.
Yeah.
That was really weird too, but again, one of those things of the 80s that was so...
Yeah.
I'm glad we got away from that. Mm-hmm. Sorry, all you freedom fighters that are upset about the woke culture stealing your 16 and to 39-year-old age romance. But we're here and we're coming for it. We don't like it.
It offends me.
I will say, like, there was such a different aesthetic of masculinity. But I think, like, in terms of masculinity... like the practice of masculinity, it was pretty much the same, very controlling. And
well, I think that's just the genre in general, or I think that what you're thinking of, or I, not in my opinion, more what you're saying, I relate to Working Girl, which we'll get to.
Yeah, no, but it's just because you're struck. You can't help but be struck by like the, oh, like guys dressing in a more, like, what we would today consider to be a bit of a more fluid way.
Yes, but that was,
and that
Bowie,
being seen,
right,
as super masculine. And that, I think that's, like, also kind of an 80s thing. But then you're like, oh, but it's just the outer dressing.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like there's nothing, it's not like their inner selves were more fluid, if that makes sense.
Like, it was still very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I loved it. I thought it was so much fun. And, you know, I liked the Muppety aspect of it. They were the only two. And her parents and the people in that ballroom scene. But, like, they were basically the only two.
Oh, that's right.
For, like, 90% of the movie.
It was mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly puppets.
Yeah.
But also, it's like it was his own collection of puppets. Like, I feel like, you know, these sort of, like, 80s offshoot Muppet films. So it's like this and, like, Dark Crystal. It's like you don't see those characters ever, like, bleed into the Muppet world.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Muppets, you see, even, like, the background characters, you see them pop up in different movies. You know, like, they just, like, keep them in a closet. And they're like, oh, we can take that guy and, like, you know, make him a villager. Or we can make him a juggler. Or we can, you know, like, whatever they sort of need.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the Labyrinth characters just live in the Labyrinth world. And you don't see, like, those kind of puppets translate anywhere else in, like, the Henson universe.
Although, is that dog the same one as the dog in Fraggle Rock?
No, because the dog in Fraggle Rock is a real dog.
But that was a real dog, too.
Not only the dog that... Sometimes it was a real dog, and sometimes it was a puppet. Also, sometimes it was a baby, and sometimes it was a puppet.
Oh, yes. Oh, super obvious, too. You can always tell if it's a fake baby by how the actor or actress is, like, moving. Because you're like, you wouldn't move that fast if you were holding a real, actual human child. Or human puppy. Or human puppy. Or puppy. Or anything that was living.
Goes from weighing, like, 20 pounds to, like, 5.
Did you know that, everyone probably knew this, but I discovered today that Michael Jackson was in the running to play the Troll King?
They dodged a huge bullet.
Yeah, that would have been a much less enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have aged well.
No.
Apparently, or the Goblin King was supposed to, you know, just be another non-human character that didn't show up until halfway through the movie. And then the screenwriter Terry Jones got a note from Jim Henson saying that it was down to, like, Jackson or Bowie. So he had to appear throughout the movie singing. So he had to go and, you know, do a little bit of rewriting.
Wow. Very glad that it was Bowie. Also, just, like, how do you... how do you even get the idea to make this movie? It just blows my mind that it exists.
Seriously. Although, Terry Jones, is it the same Terry Jones of, like, Monty Python fame?
Yeah, it
sounds like
it.
I should have done my research ahead of time.
Okay, it had a very Monty Python feel at points, didn't it? Like, some of the sets and the... I got Monty Python vibes a couple of times.
Hold on. According to Wiki, is it this? It is. Yep.
Okay.
Terry Jones of Monty Python. Fame.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, I got a lot of vibes from that. This was actually the movie that I think we got the most feedback on. And it was all on the codpiece. Jessica just said David Bowie codpiece, enough said. Tasia had said Sarah was dumb. If David Bowie asked me to worship that package forever, I could have, and I could have whatever I wanted. Sign me up. okay, and then we got an email from Fallon about The Bulge. And while you're pulling that up, I will say Jay did not watch this with me because he had a live show last night. But he was, before he went downstairs, he was just like, I just have to let you know before you watch that movie that you really need to be on the lookout for the codpiece. And I was like, everyone keeps saying this. It's the only thing I know about this movie.
You don't really have to be on the lookout for it. It's there.
It's pretty in your face.
You don't have to look that hard. It's the easiest geocache ever.
Okay, now I want to see if there's any geocaches out there called the Goblin King's codpiece.
If not, you have to make one.
David Bowie's codpiece. Yes, Fallon's email. Yes.
Fallon says, The Labyrinth, a.k.a. David Bowie's Bulge. When you said you would watch The Labyrinth, I squealed because this is my favorite movie of all time. I watched this movie as a child in the 80s and was a bit frightened of the goblins, but it was my rediscovery of the movie as a teenager that cemented my love. By that time, I knew and enjoyed Bowie's music, and if I'm honest, him as Jareth, the Goblin King, was probably part of my sexual awakening. And who doesn't love a young Jennifer Connelly? In 2016, I watched it in theaters when it was released for its 30th anniversary, and on the big screen, you can't avoid the Bulge. I'm convinced this movie influenced Harry Potter and its white owl repeatedly
yes!
saying Hogwarts. Yeah.
I almost took that note down where I was like, oh, I wonder if J.K. R. was a, she who shall not be named, was a fan of this movie.
They also walk through a wall.
Yes,
they do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, spot on. My first introduction to fan fiction was reading Labyrinth Stories, in which his bulge makes numerous appearances. I have several Labyrinth shirts. My most recent says, Your mother is a freaking aardvark. I'm always quoting this movie, saying things like, smell bad, and nothing, tra-la-la. I could go on and on about this movie, but I will try to wrap this up. Did you notice that her bedroom is filled with everything she sees and meets in the labyrinth? I did. Yeah. How about the picture of Sarah's mom and David Bowie in a newspaper clipping of a theater review on her mirror?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I did, and I was like, that's weird.
Yes.
And I didn't understand why. What else is cool? Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, is the voice of Hoggle. The baby is played by the son of Brian Froud. The conceptual artist. And any other child would probably be traumatized for life being around all those creepy critters. Real. Okay. Stopping now, even though I didn't talk about the songs.
They were so fun.
Oh, they were so good. Dance Magic Dance has been in my head for like all week now.
Awesome, yeah.
Sincerely, the babe with the power.
Can we call this episode The Broads with the Power?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree, Fallon. We kind of answered all your questions as we went along. Although, Amanda, did seeing the baby on the stairs give you massive anxiety?
Yes, but probably less so than most people because my house don't have stairs.
Ooh, no, I was just like, you get that baby off those stairs. That is not a place for children.
It was more when the baby cried because it was always like, oh my God, is that my baby? Is it the movie baby? Is it my baby who's crying?
Also, that child should not have had a blanket and a lovey in his crib at that age.
Speaking of things that don't hold up, it's like blanket, pillow, stuffed animal, like none of those things.
None of those things. This child
is not going to survive this movie.
Stairs. No. Stairs. Goblins.
But sweet jammies. Sweet Where's Waldo jammies.
Yeah, super sweet.
Also, where are the people that do this as a Halloween costume? Because I feel like we missed an opportunity for a really rad Halloween costume.
Oh, man.
There's another Halloween coming up.
I think the baby's going to be too big by the time we get to Halloween.
That's a good point.
But maybe.
If you ever have another one, we'll remind you.
Thank you. Help me out, guys.
You know I will.
You can be Hoggle. It'll be great.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
This one is the worst Halloween ever.
The thing that made this movie so 80s, other than all of it, was... the Muppets Slumber Party dance at the end.
Yes. Like, isn't that what every awesome 80s kid wanted? Yeah.
That's what Alex Glatfelter wants every night. All his stuffed animals. He just really hopes that they will all come to life and live the stories he's created for them. Oh. So they can have a slumber party.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Oh, speaking of, okay, real quick, because I know we're starting to get long. Speaking of bulges and cod pieces and all that, we were doing Wordle the other day, and Zachary wanted to help guess, and I had done it already, so Jay and Zach were doing it, after me. And at one point, they guessed the word chode, but we were all like, well, I was like, I don't know. And Zachary was like, what's a chode? And I was like, I think it's like a spice or something. Let me look it up. I had no idea. So I look it up and I'm like, oh, hey, it's a penis.
Sure is.
Anyway, yeah. I didn't know that. And then Alex, then everybody, I had everybody's
lesser
attention.
Size.
And I was like, well, I didn't go into that. Yes, it's a thick, squatty penis, much like Donald Trump allegedly has. But I didn't go into that. I just said, all right, boys, well, now we've just learned a new vocabulary word, chode. Let's move on with our day. It was a total accident. Again, I really thought that I was going to, it was going to be like some kind of like vegetable root or spice.
I'm so surprised you didn't know what a chode was. I'm surprised that I knew what it was and you didn't.
Anyway, yeah. So that happened.
Oh, shit.
All right, moving on to... a movie where I'm sure they all know what a chode is. The Goonies.
Let's never say die.
Never.
Down here it's our time. Up there it's their time.
I will say, I know I saw The Goonies back in the day, but I think I only must have only seen it like once when I was really young. Because the whole beginning, for a second I was like, did I just put on the right movie? Like, did I just click the right thing? I forgot that whole thing happened, which is obviously very important.
With the Fratellis?
Yeah. I was like, wait, is this? I thought they were in like a, because I remembered them, kids, treasure hunt.
Yes.
Yeah. That was it.
And the sweet Cyndi Lauper song.
Yes.
All the sweet music in that. Yep. And all of the freaking famous people in that movie that were just little babies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Chris, you put Chris Columbus and Steven Spielberg together in the 80s, and then you get Home Alone, basically. I felt like this was a bit of a precursor to Home Alone.
This was sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was, and like, you know, historically, came before, but very much, especially towards the end when it's like, making like booby traps for the kids, you know, for the adults to like fall.
Like the magic of childhood.
True. I've seen that movie three times now. The first time I was kind of like, yeah, this is okay. This is fun. And now I've since come to really love it. Like, it's just such a fun movie. I mean, it has its problems. But again, like, all of those movies have their problems. Like, you just can't find one that doesn't. But, yeah, it's just so much, you know, it's so much fun. It has, like, adventure and mystery and, you know, I don't know. I'm very glad that we watched it.
This was my Encanto as a child. This was the movie that, like, we watched just nonstop.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you ever throw a penny down a wishing well and then, like, wait for someone to throw it back up too?
Every time. Not that I come across wishing wells all that often.
We watched this movie. We started it with the kids. I don't know if they, Zach has definitely seen it before, but we started it, I think maybe for movie night, whatever it was. But when they dropped the statue, Alex goes, "His penis broke." And I was like, "Call it a chode, Alex." No, I'm just kidding. I think we watched this and the chode thing was the next morning.
Yeah. And then they're trying to put it back on and it's upside down. And if God wanted it like that, he would have been. I was like, wow, PG sure has changed.
PG sure has changed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very suggestive things going on here. Obviously, we have to wonder, why does the Asian American kid have an accent? And that same kid is so cute. In Indiana Jones, they made him have an accent too. Which is
does he actually have one in real life?
No.
I looked it up.
I always just assumed he did because both movies he had.
Yeah, because I had that thought too while I was watching it, and I was like, "This is so racist." And then later on, a few minutes go by, and I'm like, but I think I've only ever seen him act with that. So maybe he just has an accent.
Yeah. No, at least he was an Asian child. And sorry, Shandy, I totally spoke over you. Go
right?
Ahead.
At least they didn't have little Scarlett Johansson playing Asian kid.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's, you know, they didn't get like Mickey Rooney to come in and play the character.
Sorry, Shandy.
Could have been worse. Yeah, no, but I looked it up too because I had that question too. My first thought, like I wrote down like, why does he have an accent? And then later I had that thought of like, oh, maybe he like actually does have, like, maybe, I don't know. And then I looked it up and I was like, no, he doesn't. He really doesn't. But yeah, why does he have an accent? Because it was the 1980s and they didn't know how to like handle somebody who didn't look like super white without completely othering them. So, yeah. But at least they had like, I don't know, one non-white friend.
It's true. They could have all just been a bunch of little white boys.
Yeah. I did not realize that was Josh Brolin until this third viewing. Because I was like, little Sean Astin. He's so cute. He's in every movie that everybody loves from their childhood. And then I was like, is that inhaler. Josh? What?
This little inhaler. Yeah. It's our time. I mean, he throws the inhaler at the end. It's like, oh, forget it. I'm a brave man now. I don't need this inhaler.
Yeah, there we go. I didn't recognize that was Martha Plimpton, too, until I was looking at the cast.
Also, Corey Feldman from Lost Boys, which we watched recently, and Stand By Me, which I was like, oh, that's another one.
I love Stand By Me.
We probably could
have substituted. Working Girl for Stand By Me and then done Working Girl in a different part.
Because thematically, that would have made more sense.
Yeah. Or even we could have done Stand By Me and The Outsiders. Outsiders is a solid.
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it.
Oh, it's a great book and a really good movie, too. Maybe next time we'll circle back around. And do those. But yes, we should have done Stand By Me because that would have definitely fit better.
Well, next time we'll just do a Corey Feldman retrospective.
There we go. Was the other Corey in it? No, right?
No. No, he was solo.
Okay. Was Charlie Sheen in this one?
No, that's Ferris Bueller.
But it's also hard to keep track. But yeah, Goonies, Never Say Die. Woo!
Goonies, Never Say Die.
I will say that scene where the bats come in. And I'm like, I'm gonna get rabies. I was like, I see you. That's exactly what I would have been thinking too.
Oh, one funny part I wanted to point out was, you know, when Chunk is doing the blender scene where they're threatening to like shove his fingers in.
Yeah.
And he's like confessing his whole life story. That had to have all been ad-lib, right? Like there's no way somebody put those words on paper that he said out loud with such amazing delivery.
I think you're right. I think like he, because that actor is no longer an actor. He's now like a, he's like a entertainment attorney.
Oh, I think I knew that actually.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's like he's like all fit and he's like a entertainment lawyer and like has clients that are like A-list Hollywood folk. But yeah, I think it's like in an interview or something he said that, yeah, they sort of gave him a basic parameter and just were like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I think they had to. Wow. They were a rumor like 10 years ago, 15 years ago when Crazy Days and Nights was a thing and now that the secret identity behind the entertainment lawyer of that site was that guy that played Chunk.
Really?
I feel like there was a rumor that went around that because all his friends were like people that were, that he would like, before he started like covering up more, all his friends were like, that would guest post and he would admit to giving him like tips were people that were famous in that same era.
Huh. Maybe.
I had totally forgotten about that and that site because I know it's like crazy, like, you know, Russian propaganda now. It's completely not what it used to be, is my understanding. But,
oh dear.
Yeah. Anyway, let's finish off with Working Girl, which I have to admit, when we picked that movie randomly without any thought whatsoever, I thought that that was the Dolly Parton movie, 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
So, like, I was singing that yesterday before we started it. And then, like, we're, like, 3/4 of the way through the movie. And I'm like, where's Dolly? When is she going to sing the song?
No, you got some Carly Simon instead.
I did, but I'm never going to complain about Carly Simon.
Yeah.
Let all the dreamers face the nation. Now with a choir. Now with an orchestral version.
So good.
But
now that, the drum version of this song. Every iteration. Drum. Now the flute version.
Oh my God. I did not recognize Melanie Griffith at first with the long hair. I didn't recognize Alec Baldwin at first. I mean, I knew who they were because I knew they were in it. Like Kevin Spacey, I didn't recognize. And then once she cut her hair, I was like, oh, now you look like you. Yeah, like, basically, right. The only person that looked like themselves was Joan Cusack and Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And hair.
Sigourney Weaver just, like, always is just ageless. She just always looks the same. And, like, Alec Baldwin, I knew he was a Baldwin. But I thought he was, like, a lesser Baldwin. Like, oh, which Baldwin is that? Oh, it's the main one.
It's the one that none of them aged well, but it's the one that had a chance to age well and didn't.
The OG Baldwin.
Oh my God. But yeah, I go ahead. I will say that why did they use the fake accents when they didn't actually talk like that? Was it just to make them sound like stupider?
Because everyone loves to make fun of Staten Island.
Maybe.
Loves to shit on Staten Island.
I like that when she caught Alec Baldwin cheating, she was like, you snake! And I was like, oh, movies have changed. That's not what would happen in a 2022 movie. Let me tell you that. And there was no reason. It wasn't a decency thing, because that woman had her titties out in like every like 10 minutes. So...
Unnecessarily. Yeah. Just like, I'm just going to roll over and here's my nipple. Yeah. Just because. Yeah. I'm going to vacuum without a top on, but I'm going to put my heels on.
I was like, well, all right, I appreciate this, I guess.
Because, you know, you might step on something while you're vacuuming, so you've got to have your foot protected.
True.
Boobs.
Yep.
Let those girls fly.
I have to say, like, the scene, too, where Melanie Griffith is trying on that dress that she's gonna wear out, and they're just like talking, and she's just like in her lingerie. I just feel like I need to make a public service announcement to men that women, like, they don't really do that.
We don't.
Like, we really don't. We might go to the bathroom together at the same time and talk, but like, we generally don't just like strip down to our underwear and just like have conversations
in lingerie like that.
No. Yeah. Also, 80s lingerie was so unflattering.
Oh my goodness. It was such a production for, you
such
know.
Such a production. And just does not accentuate a woman's body, like, at all. It's, like, it's cut short in places that, like, you need a little coverage. Like, it just was not. I'm glad I did not come of age in the 80s.
I can't tell you how many times she would be, like, snooping on Sigourney Weaver's stuff. And I'd be like, girl, she's probably got a Nest Cam hidden somewhere. I was like, nope.
Nope. I mean, look at those computers.
I know.
Many things. I was like, those computers. And I was like, oh, that Coke, though. Oh, that hair. It's so 80s.
Oh, my God. Poor Joan Cusack.
Oh, the hair and the eye.
Just kept getting bigger as the movie went on.
And the eyeshadow was hideous, but awesome at the same time. Look, we still, people from Staten Island and Long Island, we might still dress like, do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
The taller the hair, the closer to God.
That's very true. Look, there's a reason why I exclusively wear very bright, colorful eyeliner. It's because I can't pull off. I don't know how to apply eyeshadow properly, okay?
I mean, judging from Joan Cusack, you just eyelid to eyebrow. That's all you have to do. Straight up color wash. You just want to do a little bit of your eye. You just want to do one line down the middle. That's fine. You can do that. You just want it to be close to your nose, you can do that too. Wherever you want.
What was the scene that I said that I loved yesterday?
The thing about the steak.
Yes.
The steak.
Oh my God, yes. She was like, I am not steak. You can't just order me. And I was like, yes, queen. Give me more lines like that. They just don't write lines like that anymore. No, I don't know
they
why.
Sure don't.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway. When Harrison Ford was getting her hammered with those giant tequila shots, and he was like, they're talking about what to order, and he was like, no frog water. Is that wine? Is that like a slightly xenophobic?
I think it was champagne.
Well, he said,
wouldn't
no.
that be tequila?
No, because he was like, no Chardonnay, no frog water. I think he meant like frog is like a slur for French.
Oh.
No,
right.
no wine. Let's drink the real stuff. Shots of tequila.
Interesting. I didn't know that. So, Shani, you originally thought that there was lots of sexual assault going on in that scene.
I stand by it. I didn't update the story once he explained what happened, but there's still something wrong if you're undressing someone and putting them basically naked into your bed.
Yeah.
Like, even if there's no penetration afterwards, that's still like not okay.
Yeah, he should have slept on the couch. I'm sure he had like another bedroom or
also
the
floor, also like or public service announcement. People don't have to sleep like in pajamas or naked. They can sleep in their clothes. And if they're passed out drunk, that's just fine.
It was a $6,000 dress, so it better be comfortable enough to sleep in.
That she stole.
There is that.
But that's always the weirdest. It's like this weird excuse, and it's like, just leave the clothes on. Maybe take off their shoes if you're being considerate, but that's it.
That's true. It's like, I saw when you posted that on Instagram, because it's like having seen the movie, we watched the movie like a year ago, like the beginning of the pandemic. And I was like, no, that's not. It totally resolves itself. And then like going back and watching the scene again today, like with that lens, it's like, I really like was thinking on it and thinking on it. Like, oh my, yeah, Shandy's absolutely right. Absolutely right. There is different ways that should have gone. Yeah.
Then he's like, and I looked the other way. I may have peeked once, but
I know, and that's how you're like,
just stop Harrison Ford while you're ahead. Don't address her.
Yeah. The embodiment of toxic masculinity. Like, this is what we were painting as like the hero character.
Right, right. He's like just like
a good guy.
Just right before that,
he believed
she literally passes out on his couch and he's trying to offer her a nightcap. She doesn't want anything.
Oh, but he's just like just trying to be sarcastic and cute. He's just like rough around the edges.
Yeah. stuff.
Did you guys like the movie, though?
It was fun. Like, I like, weird confession, I like Melanie Griffith's voice a lot. And I hadn't, it had not occurred to me for eons because I haven't seen a movie with her for very long. But, yeah, so I enjoyed that. I don't know. It kind I liked of... the music.
That the river brought.
Yes!
You saying that about her voice, I kind of had this thought last night. I was like, I wonder if Kim Kardashian was trying to, like, imitate her voice, and it just came out as Kim's baby voice, and she was just kind of stuck with it. But, like, in her head, she sounds like Melanie Griffith.
Oh.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Perhaps.
And it is a baby voice, which is, like, I get the problematic things about, like, like, there's probably a cultural reason why I'm drawn to that female voice, but I really like it.
It does have a little bit of like an ASMR quality to it.
Mm.
There we go. That's what we'll say.
That's totally. I think that might be it for you. But yeah, I will say it's like it's not a great movie, but it's a well-made movie, if that makes sense. Like the story has lots of issues. And yes, it is so very much a product of its time.
Yes.
And what those issues are. But when you look at the film by how it's shot and how it's edited, like that's really pretty good. Like some of the way they sort of frame shots are really beautiful. And like some of the edits are just like super cool and clever. And a lot of like single camera, like no cutaway scenes, like these long takes
mm-hmm.
are just like really interesting. So like, it's like, I understand from that perspective why that this film like pops up on film lists, but right. Is it a good movie on its face and on the story? I don't think so. It doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up, but it is honestly like sometimes it's kind of fun to watch stuff like that where you're like, we have made progress.
Yeah.
And now I can,
yeah,
I can enjoy this ride down memory lane for the hair and the makeup and like,
yes.
be happy that we're no longer showing, you know, hopefully like scenes like that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And, you know, John Cusack's hair. That was worth it.
And the eyes.
And the eyes.
The whole look. The whole
look. The whole look. I was like, yeah.
Fierce.
Yeah. That's right. Fierce. All right. So we have a quick thing of feedback from Gott, just to wrap up our movie feedback. He says, as unbelievable it may be, I've only seen one of these movies. Perhaps you'll guess which one. I'm going to go with... What?
Right.
Goonies?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he's seen Labyrinth.
Ah.
I was going to say Working Girl.
Oh, shit.
Okay, God, so. Let us know.
Yeah, he'll have to let us know. We all three have different guesses. So I say Labyrinth.
I say Goonies.
And I say Working Girl.
Okay. Now it's totally going to be Neverending Story. Right. Well, we'll see who won or if the house wins. And then Matt says, unfortunately, I didn't get to all the films in time, 3/4 of the way with Goonies, before HBO Max took it off at the stroke of midnight like it was Cinderella's carriage. But it is Labyrinth, and wow, that's crazy, actually. Neverending Story, and my impression of the 2 3/4 a movie I saw was mostly fine. I can't imagine I would have liked them more had I seen them 25, 30 years ago. Not necessarily because they're kids' movies. They definitely went into some less kid-friendly fare than if they were made today. Mm-hmm. Which I must make me a terrible parent because I was all for letting Zach watch Labyrinth if we wanted to.
We turned out okay.
We turned out just fine.
And I didn't. I didn't even see that movie, so there we go. I wouldn't say any of them were outright bad. If you have a nostalgic sweet spot for them, that's fine too. But it feels like there wasn't a lot to latch onto as a viewer in the two that I watched all the way through. Interesting.
I just can't believe that Matt hadn't seen these before.
I can't believe that either. This is actually very...
blowing my mind.
I'm pretty surprised.
News to me. But I agree with you about Neverending Story. Certainly Labyrinth had amazing puppetry on hand, which has helped it age versus if they use CG today. Yeah. But the story felt a little tossed together compared to the work that went into the production. Interesting. I disagree. But then again, I'm also the guy who doesn't get The Princess Bride.
Oh, we should rewatch that.
We should put that on something. Yeah. Unrelated to the movie marathon, Shani, you can tell Frank that I saw Titane, and yeah, it was quite the trip.
All right. I will let him know.
All right, before we wrap up the movies discussion, does anybody have any ideas for what we should do next time? And we can even pick a date.
Okay, so I'm not necessarily saying next time because it's a lot, actually, kind of to get through. Okay. But we talked about this a long time ago, and I think I even sent it to Colleen. But we should really watch My So-Called Life.
Yeah.
Again, there's much. Like,
it was only like 8 episodes.
I think it's like 19.
No, it wasn't that many, was it?
But they're half hours, right?
Oh, it's not even like a full...
It's one season.
It's a full... Yeah, it's one season. It's not even a full season. Like, it's not like a full network.
Well, we could totally do that next. My suggestion was going to be...
19 episodes. So, just saying. That's what I'm saying. We don't need to do it next time. But I just thought maybe, like, put it on the docket for at some point in time.
That could even be a two-parter.
Nah, I think we should... If we do it, we have to do it all in once. Because I don't want to break it up into...
I just want to talk about My So-Called Life all the time.
My suggestion was going to be 90s rom-coms. Like, You've Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle, those types of movies. And I only thought about that because, you know, there's so many of those I've never seen. But
yeah, I mean, right there, you could have just done the subgenre of, like, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan 90s rom-coms.
Definitely. I'm down for that, too.
But if we have a good month, there's, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't do My So-Called Life. You guys have seen it.
It's up to you guys.
It's just me that hasn't. And I can make that happen.
I'm going to rewatch it because it's been a while. But
yeah, I'm going to rewatch it. Any excuse. It's also, it's been a few years since I've rewatched it.
Well, let's do that then. Okay. So let's do My So-Called Life for the next time we do this.
Listeners, get us your feedback.
Get us your feedback on that. Let's see. If we were going to stick with the first Tuesday of the month, which we don't have to, that would be April 5th.
Works for me.
I think that's fun.
Sweet.
If anything changes, conflicts come up, we can adjust that. But I will not be here. We will not have an episode. Oh, it'll be just like this time. I am going to California weekend of March 26th. I won't be back till the 29th. So we won't be recording a new episode on the 29th because I will still be on an airplane.
And you know what you can do on an airplane?
Watch My So-Called Life. Because it'll be at night. So there we go. Okay. So April 5th, My So-Called Life. Boom. Done. Love that. Keep sending us your suggestions. I know there was like, you know, book club stuff and blah, 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 blah. I have to keep a good list. So send them again. I promise I'll start a good list. Okay. On that note, let's stop here. And we can do, we have an email from Andy. And we have a That's What She Said, but this is running kind of long. So let's stop there for now, and we will do those next week. And yeah, I think that's a good place to put a pin in it. Thank you to everybody that sent us emails. So next week, we have to do a bonus show, and then we are going to be live for the Hangout Level patrons. So figure for that, it'll be around 9:30, 9:45-ish start time. I will send out an email to the patrons at the Hangout Level. But we hope that you'll join us, and that will be Tuesday, March 8th. Yay! But yeah, thank you. Thank you to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rigner, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, and Ed the Creepy Poopy Head Mailman. Thank you guys so much. if you have any feedback for anything we said today, or My So-Called Life, or anything else, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Check out our Instagram. It's at thebroadcasters3. We have a Facebook page that we never really post to. Check out the Instagram page. Check out the Survivor with JJJJC. It's going to be super fun. Yeah, I think that's about it. Did I leave anything out?
I think so. We got it. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Please never say die.
The babes with the power.